Room Pod, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'll be your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie. Hello, groomers.
Well, happy end of Christmas season rush. I'm so glad that's over. Did you get any special Christmas gifts?
You know, I didn't get any items that were particular, but I certainly got about $600 in cash tips and cash gifts. That was just really nice.
I did, too. I'm so happy. Also, one of my clients who knows me really, really well, they got me Disney gift cards. So I'm going to Disneyland next week, and I get to take it with me. Yay!
Oh, how nice.
I know it. And I am so ready to start 2015, and I never in a million years imagined we'd have three episodes up before the end of the year. That's pretty cool.
Hey, girl, we're rocking.
All right, well, let's head right to the news.
It's time for grooming news and reviews, brought to you by Groomer to Groomer Magazine and Barkley Productions.
So, did you get to watch Dawn on Somebody's Gotta Do It with Mike Rowe?
Oh, I did. I loved it. Finally, we got to see her.
It's so fun to actually know somebody up there as closely as we do know Dawn, and she did a great job.
I thought the whole crew of them did great.
It was really touching to see her mom's dog. I really enjoyed that part.
And I noticed that she has the same colorful puzzle matting on her in her grooming floor that I have at my salon.
Yeah, I really like that. So that's just kind of a snap together puzzle piece floor.
Right, and it's foam, so it's cushiony, but not too soft and squishy. And I have it in my middle area, that's kind of my office area, and she has it in the back in the actual grooming area, so I'm encouraged to maybe try that flooring in my back room. I really need some more support back there.
Does it sweep easily?
It sweeps and vacuums very easily.
It sure is bright and colorful. It really sets off the dog hair. I know in my grooming trailer, my floor is dark and black, and I swear hair just hides in there, and I find big lumps of it in the morning.
Well, I think that hair hangs out and hides on all of us, and it just waits until after dark and then redistributes itself.
Especially with the grooming trailer, it's so wet in there because I do live in the Pacific Northwest that all the hair seems to stick up on the walls, and I think I've got it all clean, and I come in the next morning and there's just hair everywhere again.
Well, that humidity, that dampness, that's a real challenge for you.
It is a huge challenge. My sharpeners absolutely hate it because there's nothing that I figured out that will stop the rusting. Really difficult. But one of my sharpeners is actually working on a new idea for a blade case that will have a rise the ear kind of an insert in it. We can't stop the rust a little bit around.
Boy, that's a problem that I never have. I don't even have rust problems when I wet shave if I forget to clean my blades. It's so arid in Arizona that we just hardly ever have that kind of difficulty. So I feel for you. I know that's a whole extra factor to deal with, the humidity.
I've learned to buy coated shears. You know, those pretty colored shears.
Titanium. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my solutions. So we don't have a ton of news, but I'm going to go ahead and read the show schedule again. And we'll start with the Pet Pro Cruise out of Port Canaveral, and that's January 9th, January 18th. The Green Boat Cruise is out of Miami, and that is January 29th through February 2nd. Groom Expo is in Pasadena, California, and that is February 19th through February 22nd. APF, our favorite show, yay!
Yay!
Is March 5th through March 8th this year, and my local show, the Northwest Grooming Show, Tacoma, Washington, is April 23rd through April 26th. So that's the show schedule. Get out there and get your learn on.
Get your learn on. Get educated.
Yeah. So I know that you have a new society to tell us about. It has to do with holistic pet grooming. So why don't you tell us about that, Barbara?
Okay. So this is the Society for Holistic Pet Stylists. It's a new organization developed by a number of well-known holistic groomers who want to forward the concepts of holistic grooming and have a place where groomers who are practicing more holistically can be together and have seminars and educational materials. This organization is very committed to education. It's international. We have England on our board of directors. It's just a really cool new group of groomers that have come together. There's a Facebook page called Holistic, it's spelled H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, Holistic Dog Grooming, and we share ideas and adventures there on a daily basis. So immediately that begs the question, right? What is holistic dog grooming?
Yep, exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly what you were going to ask. And you know, that's a good question. There is no short answer to that, because holistic dog grooming is much what you make of it. But basically, the concept of holism or holistic anything, means encompasses mind, body, and spirit. So applied to dog grooming, it means that grooming is more than just a pet style or a haircut. It's regarding the whole animal, regarding the well-being of the animals in our care, regarding their care at home, taking into consideration health matters. I first started using the concept of holistic dog groomer when I opened up my retail to health products. So I was selling health foods before they were ever available in the supermarket, or there wasn't even a PetSmart or anything then. So I was the only place in Tucson that was selling various healthy dog foods, and I also sold alternative flea and tick products and so on and so forth. And to this day, I'm an aromatherapist. Aromatherapy would be a practice of holistic dog grooming. Some groomers offer canine massage. That's a holistic modality. Reiki, crystal work, all of these, there's a lot of woo-woo stuff that's associated with holistic dog grooming, but you don't necessarily have to practice all of that kind of thing. But it can, holistic dog grooming can encompass alternative modalities. How's that for an answer?
That sounds like a good answer. So it kind of means taking into account the whole dog, right? The well-being, the skin care, the cleaning, the comfort, the mental
health. Right, and the dog's experience matters. So you know, when I was taught to groom dogs, and I came from a kind of a show dog background, it's sort of like the end justified the means. You just had to buckle down and do whatever it took to get the result that you wanted. And you weren't mean to the dogs or anything, but they didn't get a vote. You know, in my holistic dog grooming, the dog gets a vote. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense to me. So I always am trying to read the dog's body language and make sure that they're comfortable in whatever I'm doing. So really, holistic dog grooming is not such a stretch from what we do on a daily basis, most of us.
No, a lot of us are taking into consideration the dog's experience. Some people are offering cage-free environment. Some don't use muzzles. Some are counseling clients about nutrition. All of that is a part of holistic care.
Okay, so this is a group that's just kind of set together to further this whole concept, right?
Right.
Well, that sounds really good. Okay, so let's move on to our next segment, which is At the Table. And today's At the Table is going to be kind of an interesting one because I would like to talk about how to use this podcast. Now, obviously, if you're listening to us, you've figured out at least how to find it either on Facebook or from the blog site. So those are great ways to find it, but you can also subscribe. So, Barbara, how do you use podcasts in your grooming work?
Well, my favorite podcast is the Beauty Brains podcast, and they have a lot of information about cosmetics and cosmetic ingredients and what's truth and myth, and it's a very science-based information blog, and I listen to it on the weekends and take it into consideration in the education that I deliver to groomers.
So what I do is I download it onto my phone, and mostly I really started listening to comedy podcasts and things like that, but which is where the idea for this show came up. But I download it onto my phone with a pod consolidator type of an app. So like Stitcher or Beyond Pod, or I think iTunes even has one. So it's one of these that will download the episode every week for you when we launch it automatically. So to do that, I usually go to the link on Facebook, and when it opens up the Groom Pod episodes, over on the right side of the webpage there will be a link to iTunes and a link to Stitcher or the Android market to subscribe. Now, if you don't already have a pod consolidator type of an app, choose one. You know, they're all good. Read the reviews. But I do like Stitcher, and I also like Beyond Pod. So that way, when we launch an episode, then it just automatically downloads. And then I stream it, or I don't stream it, I download it and play it through my radio in my grooming trailer. And so I can Bluetooth it into the radio, and as I'm working, I'm listening to my podcast. And since I work all by myself in the trailer, it will be like having another groomer there to play our podcast while you're working. So that's another way that I use podcasts in my grooming.
See, that is so way cool. I didn't know about all of that myself, Susie. Might get my Beauty Brains sends me a link by email every week.
Yeah, and certainly we're sending out an email, but the absolutely easiest way to do it is just subscribe to the podcast and then play it through your phone while you're working. You can stick your headphones in if you have Bluetooth headphones. Me, my ear protection tunes into a radio station, and I have an adapter for my telephone that sends it through a radio channel. So I actually put my ear protection on, and I'm listening to my podcast while I'm protecting my ears because the headphones don't go up any louder. And that's how I started this whole podcast thing. And I can see that different podcasts every week, from the Disney podcast, from the White Dragon podcast mentor, the guy that mentors us, to local radio podcasts and things like that. I just love having the radio in the background. I like that I can put it through my headphones and that my ears are still safe when we're in that noisy environment. And the idea of having a grooming podcast, well, I have to say, honestly, I keep listening to our podcast because I find ourselves very entertaining. So I hope that helps some of you guys out there who aren't quite as tech savvy. I'd also like to complain.
Will you write that out? I mean, I hate to make more work for you. But would you write that out?
It sounds good. I will put a blog up on our blog site, which is thegroompod.com. And you can find the information of how to link up to the podcast and the podcast generators and all that stuff there. That's a great
Thank
idea.
Thank you.
All right. So on to the next subject. And that's still being at the table. And it has to do with doing this podcast discussion group. There is not much discussing going on in the discussion group.
Hello, so, groomers!
We really want you guys to be involved in this, and we want to pull more questions out of the discussion group. So what I did this week was ask everyone to post what they learned on last week's episode, and no one learned anything, and that has me freaked out.
Me too. I noticed that nobody responded to that.
Yeah, so come on, you guys. Get involved with the show. Start interacting with us. It'll make it even more fun to listen to.
Maybe it came across a little bit too teachery.
Well, it was.
What did you learn this week, students?
Yes. Maybe that was. So, I'm just trying to encourage a little interaction and to get to know you guys a little bit and to know what you like to hear. So please put something up on the discussion group. All right, now let's go over to the reception desk. We'll talk about reminders and sending reminders out and how effective are reminders. So Barbara, what's your feeling on the reminder subject?
I think they're absolutely an essential component of a professional service business. I think, you know, like there's an argument that goes on about, is it my responsibility to remind the customers of their appointments? Well, my answer to that is yes, if you want to reduce failures.
I agree.
So, you know, I think a reminder system is most valuable and productive and worth it. So what do you do, Susan, for reminders?
So I have pre-booked all my appointments. So when I'm at the house, I actually give the person the next appointment. I have very few that I don't pre-book. And that appointment may be 2 months away, and I don't expect them to necessarily write it on their calendar, not lose the card, or remember the appointment. So the night before, I always call or text. If I can text, I'll text because I think it's less intrusive. And on top of it, since I never shut up, if I get on the phone with these people, I'm sitting out there for like 45 minutes doing my calls. So if I can just shoot them off a text message, I will do that. I also use a grooming software program that is specifically designed for mobile groomers, and it's called M Groomer. And the guy who wrote it, he has in there an email generator and a text message generator, so that if that scheduled appointment shows up, it actually sends out a text message or an email or both to the client, so I don't even have to think about it. However, I'm still old, and I still feel like I need to send that personal text message, so I stopped using his generator so that I could have the personal contact with them a little bit better. So I do that.
Okay, so can I say what I do?
Yes.
I use StoreVantage, and StoreVantage, I enter the appointment in the computer, and StoreVantage sends both an email reminder and a text reminder at the interval. I put it at 2 days ahead so that people can say, oh, I'm not going to be able to make that. They can call me and they can cancel their appointment and still give me a little bit of time to fill their slot. So I do a two-day reminder system, and the customer has the option of opting out of the emails or the text, so they have some control over whether or not they get them. I can customize the messages and images that go out, and I take, here's another use of photos, Susie, I take pictures of the dogs, and I can attach the dog's picture to their file on my StoreVantage system, and then when the people get the reminder for their, or the confirmation, they get a confirmation of their appointment, and their dog's picture shows up. And then they get the reminder, and I can change that one, and I've been using a picture I have of me singing the blues, and I say, don't give me the blues, keep your appointment. So, you know, I change it up, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I need to change it and freshen it all up for the new year.
You know, Well, that's a little bit more personal as well with the pictures and stuff. That's cool. That's a good program.
Yeah, I really like it, and my customers love it, and they thank me for it all the time. And it reduces my failure rate and at least gives me less no-shows.
I have to say that when I get a no-show, I do a little happy dance, so I don't mind the last minute cancellation. That's just me.
I know. I had two pit bulls not show up the other day, and I was just secretly delighted because one of them, they told me it was 75 pounds, and I didn't know why I took the appointment in the first place, but they were neighbors.
Ah, well, there you go.
You know, so anyway, moving right along.
So there's one other kind of appointment reminder, and that is the "we haven't seen you in a while" reminder. Do you send those out?
Well, StoreVantage allows me to send those out in bulk, which I've never used. I used to mail a "we haven't seen you" reminder and offer a free toothbrushing if they responded to the postcard. But I stopped doing that. I think those are a little scary because somebody might have quit you, but it's a good idea because it gives people, sometimes you don't want to be too personal, but you know, so if I know people really well and they've disappeared, I can call them and say, "Hey, what happened?" But if I don't know them that well, and I just want to say the door is always open, we miss you.
Yeah.
We value you. You know, it's a good thing to do.
Yep. I always worry. I don't send out "we haven't seen you in a while" cards because I have so much personal contact with everyone. But if for some reason someone cancels an appointment and then I don't hear from them again, I don't know that I want to put them on the spot as to why they didn't call me. So I've never used those "we haven't seen you in a while" things. I just don't feel comfortable with them. So let's take a break and hear from our sponsors, and then we'll get back to our main event certification. All right. Thanks, everybody. And here are our sponsors.
We invite you to check out the Bee Bird shopping cart at www.shop.beebird.biz. Here we offer selected equipment, tools and products, and Bee Bird educational materials. Now featuring the Handy Bathing Beauty and Australian Pro Magic Concentrate, a magic wand and a bottle. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
Hey everyone, it's your good pal Kev from the White Dragon Podcast Network, shamelessly interrupting your enjoyment of this tremendous WDPN podcast you're listening to basically shill to you. Bear with me here, folks, this will be brief. I know what you're all thinking. You're loving the tremendous audio spectacle currently delighting your auditory senses, and you're lamenting the fact that the stars of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, you're wrong. We've got a whole slew of shows that will delight, entertain, and captivate you all week long. And the best part is that we've got something for everyone. Are you looking for something your whole family can enjoy? Well, look no further than Two Men and the Mouse, the flagship show of WDPN focusing on the magic and wonder of Walt Disney World. Pete Mandel and myself share our love of the most magical place on Earth as we count down the latest and greatest news of the week before diving deep into a featured topic. Maybe you're a fan of geek TV and movies. You love the worlds established in shows such as Arrow, Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who, and so many more. Well, for you, we've got the Geek Watchtower. I'm joined each week by a special guest host as we review the latest installments of our favorite geek-centric media. Sometimes, though, the universe of geek pop culture can be a little too all-consuming and you need to go broad. That's why we've got Bat Squad Radio, hosted by the YouTube comedy trio known as the New Jersey Bat Squad. You'll hear me as Kev L, along with Bat Dave and Spider Denny, detailing the goings-on throughout all of geekdom. Perhaps you're more of a sports entertainment fan. Well, WDPN's got that covered as well. Step inside the world of professional wrestling with Ring Ropes Radio, the all-new pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Kevin Clark and I present to you all the viewpoints of two 10-plus years veterans of the wrestling business and supplement that with special interviews with the stars of wrestling's past, present, and future. Want more information on where you can find this plethora of internet audio entertainment? Well, head over to Facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and give us a like for all the latest news and new shows and episodes. Okay, I'm all done. I told you it would be quick. Well, this wasn't exactly quick, but whatever. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network.
All right, Barbara, so we're going to have a new weekly topic that we call the Ingredient of the Week. So what's our Ingredient of the Week this week?
So this week I'm going to talk about sodium olefin sulfonate.
Holy cow.
Holy cow, what is that? Well, it's a surfactant that's often used as an alternative to sulfates.
Let's start with the basic. You use the term surfactant. Let's let everybody know kind of what a surfactant is on the very easiest of levels.
Okay, so the surfactants...
surface acting agents. I learned!
You learned! Good!
Okay.
Yeah, just about everything that does a job in the shampoo is a surfactant. It's either a surfactant, an additive, or a preservative. You know, but surfactants are for one thing, they're the cleaning agents in the shampoo. They're the foaming agents. They're the emulsifiers.
They do most of the work, right?
They do most of the work. The workhorses in the shampoo are the surfactants.
Okay, and, so this is a surfactant.
So sodium olefin sulfonate, which is also sometimes written as sodium C14-16 olefin sulfonate.
Oh, boy.
That's enough to boggle your mind right there.
Yes, it is.
It's a major, it's most often used as a primary detergent or cleaning agent.
Okay.
And it's most often used as an alternative to sodium lauryl sulfate or sodium laureth sulfate or any of the other sulfates. It's pops up a lot in sulfate-free shampoo products.
So is it less harsh than those other sulfates?
That's a good question. And yet I've read different viewpoints on that. The beauty brains, which I trust a lot, say that it's somewhat less harsh than sodium lauryl sulfate and about the same as the laureth sulfates. Paula Begaun, who's one of my gurus, she doesn't like sodium olefin sulfonate and says they're rather harsh. So I've read both sides of that, but I think that they're right up there in about the same harshness as the laureth sulfates. That's where I would put it. They're not mild, but here again, there's a trade-off. When you get a very mild surfactant, it doesn't clean as effectively as these so-called harsher surfactants. It's just a fact of chemistry.
So is this is one of the ingredients that we'll see that pops up first in the list?
Right. It pops up first in the list. Well, right after the water.
And why would we be looking for this particular surfactant as an alternative to the sulfates, right?
So if somebody right, wants an, exa- to- an example of a company that uses sodium olefin sulfonate is Isle of Dogs, and their sulfate-free line is based on that surfactant. And, you know, to me, it's a good surfactant. It's a good alternative. It's a good choice. It has the, you know, personally, I don't fear sulfates. I'm nearly 75 years old. My hair has been washed with sulfate shampoos my entire life, and it's doing pretty good for its age.
You're and still I, here.
I'm still here. And I still have a head of hair, even though it's not exactly
what it was.
What it used to be. You know, it's never what it was. You know, like, wait till you turn 75. You'll be horrified, too. But I have a pretty awesome head of hair, and I've been using sulfate shampoos all my life, and I don't think that they're as bad as they're made out to be. However, if you want to avoid sulfates and still have a good shampoo that dilutes well, that cleans filthy dogs well, sodium olefin sulfonate is a surfactant to look for.
Well, that was a good ingredient of the week segment for sure. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and do a little segment I'd like to call Focus on Certification. So I'm a certified master groomer. You're a certified master groomer. I'll say it was very intimidating when I first started. And there's several different groups who do certification. And I was trying to think of who they were last night. I know IPG and NDGA. And who else is there?
ISCC.
That's right. And also the cat grooming one. There's the cat grooming
right.
one as well.
Right.
So the certification process is a little spooky, but it is such a great learning experience. So you start out by taking written tests, and then you do practical testing, and then there's a gigantic certified master groomer written test as well. So what were your experiences when you certified?
Well, I actually started my certification process with NDGAA, and I took a Bichon to Denver and did the non-sporting written and practical there, and it was a dreadful experience. Not because of anything there, but because my dog hated the trip. I put him in a Sherpa bag. He screamed and scratched the entire flight. I had worn my great-grandmother's wedding ring on the plane, and I lost it on the plane and didn't realize it until I got to the hotel. We had a near-miss, almost collision going into the Phoenix airport. It was a bad trip, and when I got to the hotel, I discovered that my dog had separation anxiety issues. He wouldn't let me go down the hallway to the ice machine. The dog had to be under my wing the entire time. During certification, he just acted the fool, and I had aromatherapy going and all kinds of stuff in my little table, and I had a portable lip system that Curtis Hanvey had made for me. So I had his little rear end tied up, and he just squirmed and squiggled, and he was horrible, Susie. And I was literally in tears by the time I finished. I passed.
Yep.
But I was so racked out that I was in tears, and then I did the little written test, and I just couldn't believe the whole experience. It was that awful. I waited like 10 years, and then a friend of mine suggested that we get IPG to come to Tucson, and we did that, and several of us certified here in Tucson with Michelle.
Yeah.
And that was a really good experience for me. She was great, and it had the benefit of being at home and not having to travel with other people's dogs and all of that.
So the first time you certified, was it at a show or a certification?
It was at a trade show.
Is it. Definitely.
Yeah, and it was just really it was harder. It was much easier doing it in at home, so to speak. Well, at hometown. And
so how long had you been grooming when you first decided to get certified, and what made you decide to get certified?
Well, I didn't have anybody locally to mentor me after I started my own business. I was just kind of pretty much self-taught from there on. I had done a four-year apprenticeship with a terrific groomer. But when I went into business, he was retired. And so I didn't really have any other input. And I wanted, I just wanted that the benefit of being tested and knowing that I passed. And I, and later on when I committed to finishing the certification, I had already been grooming like 34 years when I finally certified. And at that point, I was doing Bichon clinics and events, teaching events. And people who didn't know any better were introducing me as a master groomer. And that made me a little uncomfortable. And I thought, you know, if people are going to attribute that to me, I should go ahead and get that credential for real.
Yes, it's definitely a lot easier to do it at home. I know that the first time I certified, I did it at a school, and they do certification twice a year here locally, so I didn't have to go very far. But I don't have my own dog, so I did have to take somebody else's dog. I had to get up at the crack of dawn and grab the dog because it's a farm dog, and I brought it down and I groomed it. And what was really nerve-wracking for me is I had never really had in years anyone go over my grooming, and I didn't know how thin my skin was going to be. And it turned out I did all right with it, but I was more worried about getting the criticism than I was about actually passing the dog. Yeah, it was pretty intimidating, but I decided to certify because, well, heck, because I always wanted letters behind my name. And also, it just seemed like a cool idea. But I'll tell you, it was pretty expensive, and it took me 4 years to do the whole entire thing. But well worth it, I might say. I learned a lot, and I met a lot of groomers that way. But I didn't ever have to travel to a show to certify. I always did it at the school, so it made it a little less scary. But still, picking your dog is kind of a difficult thing. You really do want to pick a dog that is good quality, good quality coat, and good structure underneath for the for your certification dogs. And sometimes that's hard to find, and especially in my neighborhood where we're out in the woods a little bit, I did have a little bit of a difficult time finding good dogs. The other thing I did was I was lucky enough to be able to take the dog down and get somebody at the school to go over my dog before I certified. So I had an idea of what they were looking at, because grooming by yourself, your styles may mutate a little bit, and if nobody else looks at it and the styles change as well, you may find your Springer looking a lot like a Cocker or something like that, and not quite hitting the mark on it. So it does help to get somebody to go over your dog in advance. So anything else you want to add about certification?
Well, most of the certifying bodies do have workshops that they will provide so that you can go. I know that before I certified, I attended an NDAA workshop on Cockers that was really valuable forever. I mean, whether or not I ever certified, that workshop was worth it.
It's
just like good to have somebody break it down for you, you know, get it into another level of your understanding besides just a visual kind of get it thing, you know, just really knock it down for you, break it down. That was very helpful. And I didn't, you know, somebody raised the question, what's the difference between the certifying bodies? And I'm going to say that there's not a whole lot of difference between IPG and NDGAA, but ISCC is a way more arduous, way more hoops to jump through kind of a learning process. And right, there's a lot of very valuable learning that goes along with that process, but that's definitely going to be something with, if you certify with ISCC, it's definitely going to be something that you do over a period of years. With IPG, for example, and NDAA, you can conceivably complete certification in a weekend.
Wow. Okay. Well, I certainly
did my IPG all in 2 days.
Wow.
Tucson, you know, two dogs a day.
Yeah, that's impressive. That I probably would have had an aneurysm if I tried to do that. So I know that I believe it was the National Dog Grooming Association that put out, no, maybe it was the ISCC, that has some good written material that I got a hold of at one of the shows. And I've put booklets together with all my written material that I get at the shows, but I have a separate one just for that, and it was really, really helpful to get that stuff from them.
And both those organizations have recently updated their written materials.
Excellent.
And, you know, so... yeah, and the other thing that's happened is that IPG has now changed their certification a little bit so that one of the elements of certifying is called salon details.
Yes, I
saw that. You and I didn't do that. You and I didn't do that element. I think it's an excellent idea, and they actually... you have to do a practical bathe and dry and brush out a dog.
Well, that's good.
Instead of just assuming that the preparation that you come in with, you know, that you're, that you've done it properly. So, that's another idea. And then I saw somewhere, and now I can't find it again, where I thought that one of those two organizations had dropped one of the two terrier practicals and substituted a drop coat pet style.
But oh, that's a great idea.
If they haven't done that, hello, you need to do that.
Totally.
Because that's more, way more likely that groomers are going to run into, are going to be doing drop coat teddy bear style than... you know, the old pattern, you know, when I, NDGAA, you used to have to do a poodle first and a lamb and then put it into a pattern trim like a Town and Country or a Dutch.
Oh, see, wow.
So those were the old days.
I didn't have to do that.
I actually would have loved doing that because I used to be pretty good at those Town and Country and Dutch styles, and I thought I had it knocked down. But I think it's much more appropriate for today's grooming to do a drop-coated pet style.
Absolutely. I really think that's a great addition to the testing. And the salon details, that sounds good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, it's all one gigantic deal, so we should be tested on all of it. Well, I can't encourage people enough to go out and do certification. I mean, at least start the process. It's really fun. So what it means is you've got to find someone locally or where you can fly to that is doing a certification class. And if you Google any of these organizations, I'm sure that they will have information on where local certification is happening. It does happen at all the big shows usually. And then you got to find a dog, and then you got to do your studying, and then you got to get up, do the dog, take it in, take the tests and all that stuff. And it's a long process, but well worth it and very rewarding. So that's about it for our focus on certification and for our episode number 3. It's been great. And I just want to remind everybody to be part of the discussion group. Remember, I scolded you on that earlier. And we will
Yes, ma'am. We want your questions, people. We want your questions. If there's an ingredient that you want me to explain to you, please ask on the discussion group, because otherwise I'm just pulling it out of the air.
Yep, and believe me, I've got pages and pages and pages of topics, but we want to talk about what you guys want to hear, so let us know. And that's it for the Groom Pod this week. We'll see you next time.
Happy New Year!
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.